Excuse me, I would like to inform all participants at this time the conference is now being recorded. If you have any objections, please disconnect at this time. All lines are live and interactive for the duration of today's call. If you would like to mute your line, you can utilize star six on your phone. You may begin.
If we have all members of Congress on, we can start at any moment at this point. The call is being recorded.
Hello?
Is that Lois?
I'm here.
Lois, you've got Jim and Ted on, and I'm not quite sure who else is on, but I guess we ought to start.
Okay, that's good. All right, here we're going to go. Okay, guys, I'll just kick it off, okay?
Great.
Just some background. So this is Lois Frankel, West Palm Beach, Fort Lauderdale. I am here with Representative Ted Deutsch and Jim Himes, and I'll let them tell you their districts once they get on. We also have participating today two public interest organizations, the Global Workers' Justice Alliance and the Economic Policy Institute. And I thank you all for being on here. Today, we're going to talk about a bill that the three of us are co-sponsoring, and just a little bit of background. Millions of foreign citizens are temporarily authorized to work in the United States through a patchwork of non-immigrant visas. And these workers can be found in almost every industry, including healthcare, technology, agriculture. There's different reporting requirements for each visa category, and a lot of the data is not public. And without this information, many of these workers are hidden and they are vulnerable. Because what is happening is that although there are many, most employers are honest and treat their workers with dignity, there are unfortunately dishonest, unscrupulous folks who actually either are trafficking these workers and or put them in legitimate work, but abusing them. And I think Ted is going to talk more about that. I could just give you an example would be the use of the visas to bring the foreign students over. And those are called J-1. It's a J-1 program. Used quite a bit for seasonal employment. What happens is, and I'll give you an example of a young lady who was promised that she was going to work as a waitressing job in Virginia. Instead, she got forced into working at a strip club in Detroit. Basically, her handlers confiscated her passport, told her that her family would be killed if she she was from Ukraine, that they would be killed in Ukraine. They beat her and so forth. And anyway, she's now in protection in the United States. But that's just one example, and I think Jim and Ted may have some others. So basically what we're going to do is we're going to bring some, with this legislation, we're going to bring daylight to temporary work visas for foreign citizens, and this is going to save lives, going to prevent abuse, and it's going to even the playing field for honest employers who have to compete with the employers who are exploiting workers. The workers, when they're hidden and no one's checking to make sure where they are, that's when they become vulnerable. So by having a uniform system of data collection, making them public, it will not only enable government agencies to do checks, but also human rights organizations. So with that, I'm going to let me turn this over to Ted, who will then turn this over to Jim.
Thanks, Lois. I appreciate it, and thanks for your leadership on this. And I'm glad to be on with Jim. We're introducing Bill Transparency and Reporting to Protect American Jobs and Prevent Human Trafficking Act for several reasons. And Lois spoke some about human trafficking. I'm going to talk a little bit about the impact that this bill can have on our own economy and enhancing the opportunities for American jobs. There are millions of foreign citizens who receive non-immigrant visas to temporarily come to the United States to reside and to work. And these are visas that, for the most part, don't allow permanent immigration. Three different agencies, Department of Homeland Security, Department of Labor, and the Department of State, are responsible for issuing temporary non-immigrant visas, which they do, as I said, for millions of foreign workers. The agencies, however, don't make available to the public the information on who the temporary visa recipient works for, the occupation that they're employed in, and how much they're being paid. And if we can bring some transparency to the system so that the status of non-immigrant visas and the details behind them were made public, we could reveal the impact that these visas have on our own labor market. We could provide background on the type of visas being misused for human trafficking, as Lois talked about, and where the victims are coming from. And we could help inform policy decisions about non-immigrant visas altogether. We create uniform public reporting requirements for all non-immigrant visas. The agencies would have to report the number of foreign workers that receive them, the number of temporary visas that have been revoked, expired, or terminated each month, information on the country, the gender, the age, the occupation, the education levels, and the compensation for the foreign worker, and the names of the employers. Homeland Security would consolidate all of this information and would post the information online for the public so that anyone would have access to it, and would provide reports to Congress as well so that we can be updated on the status of these visa programs. The important thing to note is that these agencies already collect this information, so the bill wouldn't have any cost. It would simply require that the public have access to all of this information that is already, again, it's information that's already captured. Some of the data that's listed in the bill will have to be collected in a more standardized way. But again, what's really important here is that by collecting this information and making it available, members of Congress would benefit from it. Journalists would have access to the information. Labor analysts would be able to review it. Law enforcement would be able to review it, and it would just provide an awful lot of information that can help us not only address the issue of human trafficking, which is really important when these visas are abused, but also would give us the opportunity to assess the jobs that these that are being taken by people under these non-immigrant visas, whether there are any abuses of the system, whether people who take these jobs, the kinds of jobs that are being taken, it would give us the opportunity to explore how those jobs are advertised in the community that might actually eliminate the need to bring in foreign workers to do the jobs. That could enhance employment opportunities for American workers. That is a vitally important issue at all times, especially the case now. And I'm proud to co-sponsor this legislation and proud to be on the call with my friend Congressman Frankel. And I will turn it over to my friend Congressman Himes. And Jim, I'll turn to you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ted, and thank you, Lois, and thank you all for participating. It's Jim Himes from Connecticut, and Lois and Ted have done a terrific job of laying out the need for this this bill and the information consolidation and streamlining that it would require. So I don't want to be repetitive, but to say that the need for this bill is obviously, first and foremost, was for me at least, highlighted by a terrific organization that is on the phone with us, the Global Workers Justice Alliance, led by Kathleen Caron from Connecticut, who has spent a lot of time on the Hill pointing out exactly how fragmented and in some cases irrational the United States visa system is. And unfortunately, that fragmentation and that irrationality leads from everything on a spectrum, starting with, you know, confusion and an inability to know what's going on with some of these immigrants under these very many visas that are issued, to, on the other end of the spectrum, of course, some truly horrendous human trafficking stories from which none of our constituencies are exempt. In the state of Connecticut, and I would refer anybody who's interested to a New Haven Register story of May 4th, 2013, is the story of a young woman named Chandra Wowaruntu, who, like the example that Lois gave, was forced into 24-hour-a-day, essentially sex slavery, in a brothel in New London. It's a really stunning article and really lays out sort of the horrendous tragedy that befall people who slip through the cracks of this system, which is so fragmented and complicated. So obviously the first part of dealing with this problem is to really understand and get good data on the complexity. As Ted said so well, we can't deal with the problem. We can't begin to think about simplification until we have all of the data and all of the information that we would like to have here in one place, analyzable and available for people who want to think forward about our immigration policy. And that's, of course, what this bill does. It's not a complicated thing. As Ted said, this is not a new mandate. It's not new information that would be collected. It would simply be put together in one useful format and made available to the public so that we can have a conversation in our democracy about how to deal with the much larger issues of simplifying and making more humane and rational our immigration policies, but also dealing with the really ugly problem of human trafficking, which is enabled, frankly, by the complexity and by the obscure nature of the information that we have here. So with that, I'll just thank you all for participating. Lois and Ted, thank you. It's great to work with you on this stuff, and I know that we're all willing to take questions from anybody on the phone at this point.
Okay, thank you. And we have somebody from the Global Workers Institute, Workers Justice.
Yes, hi. Thank you so much for allowing us to participate on this press call. My name is Nan Schiavone. I work with Kathleen Caron. I'm the legal manager at Global Workers Justice Alliance. And we're an organization that strives to end worker exploitation by promoting portable justice for transnational migrants through a global network of advocates and resources. We are thrilled that Representatives Frankel, Deutsch, and Himes are introducing this bill. This is an important step in the fight to end human trafficking. Through our work promoting access to justice for migrants who have suffered human trafficking and other labor abuses, we identified the lack of transparency with the temporary visa system as a contributing factor to exploitation. Simply put, when a workforce is hidden, migrants are more susceptible to human trafficking. And indeed, in the last several years, advocates have documented hundreds of potential trafficking victims who enter the United States lawfully with a temporary non-immigrant work visa. And knowledge about the scope of these programs is critical to prevent this. But current law does not require sufficient public data reporting. With exception of a few visa categories, we don't know which employers are using which visas. We don't know the nationality of J-1 exchange visitors who are summer work travel students, for example. We don't know the gender of any non-immigrant workers. We don't know the number of B-1 domestic workers, much less where they are coming from and where they are working. And a shadow labor market is easy to exploit, and it enables bad actors to thrive. So this legislation today will require the detailed data collection and annual public reporting across visa categories that's needed to take this primary and basic step in trafficking prevention. And this, a complete textured picture will reveal vulnerable populations. It will allow for targeted and therefore more effective prevention outreach efforts and stronger law enforcement and policy responses when problems are uncovered. And we've been happy to work with the Economic Policy Institute on this as well.
We have a representative from the Economic Policy Institute. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, thank you so much for letting me participate. I am Daniel Costa. I'm the Director of Immigration Law and Policy Research at the Economic Policy Institute. EPI is a think tank that has been around for nearly 30 years and studies the labor market and the economy with a focus on the needs of low- and middle-income workers. I think Representatives Frankel, Deutsch, and Himes have introduced a very smart, common-sense piece of legislation, one that will lead to a more rational immigration policy and a smarter public debate about it. I'd like to personally thank them for their great efforts and leadership advocating on behalf of the rights of both immigrant and American workers. One of the things in my work in particular focuses on the U.S. temporary foreign worker programs, which are also known as guest worker programs, because they leave migrant workers less protected in the workplace than U.S. workers because of the way they're set up. And when the labor standards of one worker is degraded, it lowers the labor standards for other similarly situated workers. Temporary foreign workers are less protected because their visa is usually tied to their employer, and they often pay recruiters thousands of dollars just to acquire their temporary job in the first place. Thus, they're often unwilling to speak out or assert their rights when something goes wrong, because if an employer retaliates and fires them, it means losing their job, the right to remain in the country, as well as thousands of dollars that were invested to get to the U.S. in the first place. And as others on the call have explained, this ends up facilitating human trafficking. Unfortunately, the federal government isn't very transparent about these programs. It collects a lot of information about them, but only compiles and publishes a minuscule percentage of it. It leaves researchers, journalists, and congressional staffers in the dark about the temporary foreign workforce and ultimately results in policy decisions that have to be made without the best available evidence. To give you an example about how little we know about the guest worker workforce, U.S. doesn't even know how many temporary foreign workers are in the labor market at any one time and how many are currently working with valid visas in the different programs. So I regularly collaborate with advocates, researchers, and academics who work on immigration and on behalf of immigrants, and this dearth of data is always identified as a major flaw in the system. Once this bill becomes law, many of us will be able to better explain the impact of the foreign worker programs on the economy, and more importantly, more effectively be able to defend the rights of some of the most exploited workers in our labor market, which will, of course, then result in rising labor standards for all workers. So thanks very much. Appreciate having me on. Thank you again, Congress members.
Thank you. Anybody, any member of the press have a question?
Yes, this is Abang Dama at WSHU in Connecticut.
Go ahead. Okay.
I just want to find out if you have any bipartisan support for this and any chance that we could see this legislation move forward anytime soon?
At this point, and I'll, Lois or Ted may know something that I don't, but at this point it's just the three of us. We've just dropped the legislation. I think we're optimistic that we should be able to get strong bipartisan support. This is not an issue that lends itself, as so many issues do in the immigration debate, to partisan acrimony. I mean, we're just talking about a more rational, efficient, and smarter presentation of information. So we are expecting and hope to get good bipartisan support.
Yeah, I would. This is Ted Deutsch. I just add to that I serve on the Judiciary Committee. We've started reaching out to some of my colleagues on the committee. Providing this kind of transparency can help better inform the immigration debate that's taking place here. It doesn't require the creation of a new program. It doesn't require that the data that isn't already being collected. There's no additional burden, and there's no additional cost. So for all of those reasons, like Jim, I'm confident that we'll have a strong bipartisan support.
This is Bill Gibson of the Sun Sentinel. This is a question for the Florida representatives. Is there reason to think that this problem with trafficking and misuse of visas is especially prevalent in Florida, and if so, why?
Well, I'll answer. One of the reasons for this legislation is we just don't know exactly where it's happening. I mean, we believe, you know, if you understand the dynamics of this issue worldwide, we're talking about multi-millions of people that are being exploited in human trafficking. We know anecdotally that in the United States, of these issues, I think last year the Justice Department had 1,200 investigations, but victims are very reticent to come forward. So, and maybe the folks at the human, at some of these organizations, Global Workers Justice, or maybe you could add something to that, but there's reason to be anecdotally, and just because of the large numbers worldwide and the thousands of visas that this is occurring here.
This is Daniel Costa from EPI, and I'll just mention there was some reporting just a few months ago. I wrote a bit about it on our website, about a DHS ICE officer who was going around actually in Florida, and he was noticing that J-1 visa students were some of the most exploited workers in the beach areas, working, selling trinkets to tourists or working at amusement parks. And so some of it has been found there. That seems to be one area where it is happening. And if you could epi.org or email me dcosta@epi.org. I can send you some information about that.
Bill, it's Ted. I'd add to that we know that the human trafficking is a major problem in Florida. And what this legislation will do, and the reason that it's so important to Florida, is that by making all this information public, we're going to learn a lot more about the seasonal workers who come to Florida. The numbers of seasonal workers coming into our state is so high that people who look to abuse the system in ways that are illegal and dangerous and harmful to the visa holders, individuals will have an opportunity to shine a spotlight on where the visas are going. That'll give us an opportunity to try to figure out where there are problems, and for people in law, as I said earlier, for law enforcement and for others who are concerned about this issue, it can provide some much needed information that can help them address this scourge of human trafficking.
You know, if you just look at our climate, it lends towards the need for temporary work, whether it's in hospitality or, for example, in agriculture or whatever. There are legitimate jobs available, and that people come to thinking they're going to take, and somewhere in the translation, they become exploited when illegitimate and unscrupulous traffickers get hold of them. So, so we know we have the type of economy that lends towards somebody being brought over or being lured over for temporary work. So just that in itself, I think, makes it suspect, and the data will give us much better information.
And for the overwhelming majority of businesses who use the program the way that it was intended, their they're going to be in a position to benefit because it will show, this reporting requirement will show that they're doing exactly what is supposed to be done and using this program, using these programs exactly how they were intended. I think that's an added benefit for the many, many businesses who rely on these visa programs and use them correctly.
To add what Ted has said, for example, if you have a legitimate employer who is paying somebody a legitimate wage, it makes it hard to compete against someone who is unscrupulous who may be paying somebody a dollar a day or something like that. So this is not only for the benefit, of the worker, but it is also for the benefit of the honest, legitimate employer. Anything else, anybody?
Yes, this is John Lantigua from the Palm Beach Post. I'd like to address the whole question of how the importation of workers affects U.S. workers. And I wanted to ask either Daniel Costa or maybe Nan from Global Workers exactly the economic benefits that come to employers who bring in these workers. What is it that they don't have to pay that they would have to pay to U.S. workers?
So this is Daniel. I can take that. One of the things is, well, it depends on the program, but for instance, the J-1 program, that's a good example. Employers don't have to pay federal unemployment taxes or Medicare, Social Security taxes on those workers. And if you look online, there are even calculators that will calculate how much savings you'd get by hiring a J-1 instead of a U.S. worker. And on top of it, the J-1s, when they come to the United States, they have to pay for their own room and board. They have to pay for their own health insurance, so that doesn't have to be provided either. So there are savings in some of these programs, and overall, with all the programs, the worker is usually tied to the employer, so they can't just leave the job, and if they do, they become deportable. So that makes them less likely to complain about anything.
So they also have to take the wage that they're offered.
That's correct. And some of the programs like have the H-1B and H-2B. They have prevailing wage rules, and those prevailing wage rules can easily be gamed so that employers can pay less than what the market rate is for a worker.
And how about in J-1? Does that have any prevailing wage?
It does not. It does not have a prevailing wage. Unfortunately, they just have to be paid the minimum wage.
Have you ever figured out why it is? Because I have found that in particular, it's the State Department that does not want to divulge any information about these J-1s.
That is very true. That's an issue that we've argued to them both publicly and to the leadership there that we really wish they would divulge some more information about it. But they are, for some reason, very protective about it and don't release. The only agency that releases anything really is the Labor Department with some stats on a couple of visa programs. But,
right.
But that's really it. There are so many more visa programs that both DHS and the State Department just don't release anything about.
Right. I have a question for Nan. Nan, the number of J-1 workers who come into the country is something like 330,000. Is that it?
If you're talking about the number of visas that are issued,
right.
Yes. But, J-1 workers are here for several years, and so the number at any one time, can change. And we don't know that number. That number is not broken down by category, by nationality. It's not disaggregated among the 14 different subcategories.
All right. If you look at the main categories that authorize full-time work, the summer work travel is about 80 to 90,000 the last couple of years, and then the intern and trainee programs, which authorize work for 12 to 18 months. You add those up with some of the other smaller categories, it ends up being around 160 to 180,000 or so. And that, of course, is much larger than both the H-2A and the H-2B programs, which are the main Labor Department-run programs for unskilled workers.
Right, okay. I have a question for the Florida delegation. We have industries that use these folks, in particular in South Florida, the hospitality industry. Do you expect pushback from those people?
Hey, John, I'll take that. I'm not sure what the objection to transparency could be. And I would point out that we've worked with a number of the local country clubs and the Workforce Alliance to create opportunities, training opportunities for U.S. workers to take jobs in the hospitality industry that often have been given to foreign workers, and also to make sure that there's adequate publicity about not only about the specific jobs, but about the industry and how beneficial it can be for those who are seeking work. So I think providing this transparency, coupled with the efforts that much of the industry has already undertaken, will help to strengthen our economy and the prospects for U.S. workers.
Yeah, I want to say that anybody who treats their worker with human dignity, should not be afraid of this law. I think it hurts America's reputation and our economy if people are lured here from other countries and then exploited. It is not good for our business, and it's not good for our reputation. So those people, and I think, as I said, I think most employers are honest, and many give very good, valuable opportunities to these foreign workers, and there are instances where they don't have the pool of workers here. Because some of these are very, very temporary jobs. They could be, this is something I think that should be embraced, not feared. If anything, it should hopefully let the unscrupulous go away.
Great, thank you.
Is that it, everybody? We thank you all very, very much for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
This now concludes today's conference. All participants may disconnect at this time.